Hi, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I want to do something a little different for you today. Let me go ahead and play this for you. You're going to recognize this from the 1970s. Here you go.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city.
Listen
it's
up.
A long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea.
I was just a bill. I was just an idea. And I got this far, and poor little empathetic little Bill just wants to be a law so bad. Can we just allow him to be a law? Because good ideas need to be made into laws. Well, we were so brainwashed in the 70s. What can I say? Was that like mid-70s, late-70s, 80s? Anyway, let me tell you, the idea that this gave us as kids, or maybe you were in your adult years, who knows? Everybody remembers Schoolhouse Rock. But it was the idea that every single idea needed to become a law. And of course, they're using the system, so it's all right and it's okay. The problem is, what we were never told growing up is that really and truly very few laws should have passed, because to enable freedom, right, and to keep our liberty, that means that you don't keep writing bills against it. But that's exactly what we tell our senators and our congressmen to do, is to write bills that violate our liberty for a multitude of reasons that sound really nice. And this is their job, and we pay them for it. And we tell them to write more bills because they got to earn that paycheck. Really and truly, they should sit in a room and do nothing. If I was ever going to run for office, the campaign poster would be, I would sit in a room and do nothing while I protect your liberty. And at the end of my stay, I wouldn't write any bills to take away your freedom. Because right now we have about 1 million bills that pass every single year. Bills and laws and regulations and policies that pass. 1 million of them. I don't think there's anything left to regulate, actually, or make lawful anymore. And so today I want to kind of give us a wake-up moment. We are about to enter into this election time, and a lot of people have a lot of questions because they're hearing things in the media, things like from Zuckerberg, things like, you won't like the results on election day, and we won't really know the results, but when we get the results, we're going to have to go in and take the president out by force. I'm sorry, what? What? So I want to talk about this because on the show, I've been doing this about 9 years and almost 9 years. And I tallied up a very conservative number for the number of hours I spend to not only produce the show, but also to do a 3-hour show daily. Okay. I'm live every single day. 25,000 hours. Yeah. That's a conservative number. 25,000 hours I've put in dealing with government and how government operates and where we're at today and answering all those questions. You might not do 25,000 hours, but let me give you kind of the nuts and bolts about our government right now, because there's one misconception that I just hate hearing. And a lot of people say it, and I know they say it with, it comes from a lot of patriots, actually. And it's a comment, this line, I know you've heard this line, they didn't think she would lose. That's actually not true. And I want to clarify that, because they knew she would lose, because every single election is basically controlled. And it has been for 120 years. So it started with House the Handler, clear back in the early 1900s, all the way to our present time. Nothing has changed about that. So if that's true, which it is, then how in the world did we suddenly get an election that wasn't the case? So let's talk about the elephant in the room. This is the elephant in the room moment for a lot of people. But let's play catch up, because along the way, we were listening to Schoolhouse Rock and we didn't get very far in our education on government and the Republic and what's been going on with our particular government for the last 120 years that have really been hard to watch. So in my studies, these are some of the revelations and some of the things I've come across that I'd like to share with you. And it's going to be an elephant in a room and kind of hard to hear because people don't want to hear this. But let's do it anyway. They knew she would lose because they handed it to Trump. I think they promised it to Hillary, but they handed it to Trump. Okay, why would they hand it to Trump, right? Well, Trump back in 1987, actually to get 93% of Resorts International, that was owned by the Rockefellers. And so he kind of partnered up and the Rockefellers helped him out of a situation to be able to own the hotels that he owns now. And of course, everybody knows this. I don't know why we don't ever talk about this. And so, but really the caveat is, what does it mean? Okay, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But he took money from the Rothschilds and kind of went into bed with the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Well, they happen to be the owners, and basically they kind of help control with the deep state and with all of the money changers, all of the people in money, and all of the people behind the scenes that never left politics, and they're in think tanks writing all the bills, passing them off as bills that your congressman writes. Okay. Those are the people that really control who's in the White House. And they'll only put somebody in or allow somebody near the White House that is actually going to do their bidding. Okay. So this is a truth we've come upon for 120 years, and things haven't changed today, nor did they change 4 years ago. So Trump gets in. But he's a little different because he's not reliant on them to make money or to have advantage or to have any kind of really get anything. So what's the motivation? Because he's already a billionaire. He gives away his salary. So what in the world is the motivation? Could it be to pay a debt? Okay, that's another elephant in the room. Sure, it could be. Of course it could be to pay a debt. And maybe he's paying that debt by giving them some wins. Sometimes you have some wins, and sometimes you go a little rogue. And when I talk about going rogue, we have had this happen before. I'll give you a for instance. Herbert Hoover. I cannot say his name fast. Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover was, he was pretty much controlled, got into the presidency, and then started going a little rogue, and he became a little bit more aware of what was going on and what was happening in government, and he didn't like it. And so he started kind of not really doing a lot of the things they wanted him to do. So what do? They took the Great Depression and they named it after him, the Hoover Depression, and they really tried to attach his name to it so that people wouldn't have any confidence in him at all anymore, and obviously he didn't get another term, okay? So has it happened before? Sure. So I think the one thing that I've always looked at, because I've looked at both sides, quite honestly, as we've moved forward the last 4 years, and it's always been kind of one of those things where it's hard to dial in on what is actually going on. Are we being played? What team is he playing for? How is he still alive if he's exposing all of the things he's exposing? And so these are all really good questions. Well, I think it boils down to this. He gives them some wins. Okay, he gives them some wins, like the USMCA deal, which was atrocious and takes away our sovereignty as a nation in the future. That's what it'll do. I think he looked at it like a business deal, but he put it through. And so these are some of the wins, okay? He got some people into some pretty strategic placement in cabinets and things like that that actually are deep state. And so that's another win for them. And they know that he is curtailed by his authority as president, and that really actually it's Congress and the Senate who do most of the things that he's accused of not doing, like building the wall, like Obamacare. Obamacare didn't leave because McCain, the holdout vote, McCain said, well, I have a brain tumor, so he went in the hospital and didn't show up for the vote. So we still have Obamacare, but it became their scapegoat. See how that works? So all the things like NSA spying, the Patriot Act, all of these things didn't go away because your Congress, both sides of the aisle, and your senators didn't want them to go away. Trump couldn't have just gotten rid of a lot of things. He has to still abide by the different branches of government and the authority of what his office entails. And so when I'm looking at this situation, yeah, there's some wins there that I think he gave them. And there's some things that that have gone on in the last 4 years that have really made me scratch my head. But then you have a president exposing the media, exposing climate change. This is their hill to die on. Are you kidding? Climate change is their big moment in the sun for world government. This is how they get the UN at the head of the world government, get rid of the USA, all come together and tax the hell out of us. And then also control. Control comes out of climate change movement. It has nothing to do with climate change because five decades later, they kept telling us we were going to die at the end of each decade. Well, I sure hope by five times of this that we finally got the memo that we're not going to die of either becoming a popsicle or a fried egg on the sidewalk, as in the Gore years. So, of course, climate change is one of the biggest ruses and hoax. But you know what? It's for them. It's about control. So the people they put into power that are basically controlled by the communists that are in our government that have infiltrated really want the climate change, the Green New Deal, all of these things to come to pass. And so he's been exposing that, though. He's not on board, right? He hasn't worn the mask. He hasn't. There's a lot of things he has not done. And so that has not been in their favor, and they know it. So they're trying to get him out. Okay. But of course, he's got to give him some wins because you have to, right, in order to play this game. And he wanted to stay in to play the game. And I'll give you some examples. Look at Kennedy. Kennedy was murdered and assassinated for wanting to expose the CIA. And the CIA didn't like that very much because the CIA is lawless. Just like every intelligence group from every country, it's completely lawless. And they did not want somebody exposing them or getting in their way. They had a lot of coups planned. They had a lot of stuff on the agenda. And they did not want Kennedy to get in the way. So he was basically assassinated for that reason. Lyndon Johnson was on board with that, actually, and his Secret Service helped in this. A lot of people don't want to recognize this. It's okay. It's a truth pill. Take it. Anyway, so when you look at Johnson, he was this hot mess, vulgar, awful, terrible little president who was either going to go to prison for some of the stuff he'd done, or he was going to become president. And he became president. Nixon goes in, and Nixon actually, you know, he wasn't a fantastic president because they're all controlled, except for the fact that Watergate happened because I think he actually went after Alger Hiss a decade before and made sure that Alger Hiss was sent to prison, communist, part of the deep state, one of their guys. And of course, he went after him so hard. I think Watergate was the payback for that, the public shaming event, because stuff like that doesn't happen unless they want it to happen. Then, of course, we had Ford and Carter, both complete. Well, they were puppets. They went along with the agenda. That's what they were there for. And easily controlled, especially Ford, very easily controlled, but Carter too. And then, of course, you had Reagan. He got the warning shot. He literally the warning shot, because he did actually go into office saying that he wanted to get rid of Department of Education and Commerce. They weren't going to allow that. He didn't want, as he started kind of possessing some of his own ideas, they didn't want that. Bush wanted to control that pretty heavily as his VP. We call that assassination insurance, having your VP kind of knowing all of these things, right? And kind of on the inside. And Bush was definitely that person, because then we got Bush. And Bush actually was probably one of the worst in getting us into this last leg of the UN world domination plan. He was doing a lot of things behind the scenes and had with all the different presidents, but also he directed the CIA in the 70s. But also he was just pretty good at bringing on the New World Order. That's basically what he was all about, and stayed behind the scenes long after he did not get his second term. Then he puts in Clinton. Clinton actually was a visitor at his home. He ate dinner at the Bush's house. In fact, they knew they could own Clinton because there's a lot of dirt on him for the obvious reasons. There's also the drug running into MENA. Remember that? MENA, Arkansas? Anyway, there was so much going on there. They knew that they could control Bill. He was easy to control. And I think Hillary was his handler, actually. More of a handler than a wife, she ever was. And then, of course, you had Bush, George W., who brought in 9/11. We also had the Patriot Act, the NSA spying on steroids, and all of these things, the war budgets galore. We had all of these things upped and approved, because guess who was really president? It really wasn't George. It was Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was the president. He's still involved in all kinds of things, government style, plus the deep state. He's a huge actor in the deep state. Then you had Obama. straight up Bolshevik, straight up communist, without a past. And this guy was willing to do whatever they said. Got very rich off of the whole deal. Comes from a CIA family, and of course they all did. They're all part of a giant club. And then you have Trump. Trump is a little different because his motivation is a little different. It's not the same as the others. The others went along with everything. They went along with climate change, the media. They never exposed anything like that. But I will tell you the one thing that Trump has not exposed that's really telling, and that's the CIA. What's interesting about that is that he isn't exposing the CIA. He's more exposing the FBI and the corruption that lies within the FBI, right? With Comey and all of those guys. He alludes to the CIA, but he doesn't out and out expose the CIA. See, stays a little bit more careful on that because, of course, he knows what happened to Kennedy when Kennedy tried to do that. He was assassinated. So you have all of these things at play. You have somebody that took money from the deep state like Donald Trump did, and they helped him build his $1 billion, you know, fortune. There's going to be a payback there. Soros was part of that, too. There's going to be a payback. So you are going to do a couple of things that they want. And I hate to say that because it seems like people are either on the Trump train and it's like they don't want to see anything, or you hate him like he's like the spawn of Satan. It can't be either one. And I believe that there's probably a little bit of a mix there. Okay. So that brings me to the fact that they're not going to let anybody near the White House that actually is going to change a whole lot that's going on. But he has actually exposed a lot of things that other presidents haven't. So you have to give him that, because that's been kind of a dangerous move for him. Okay. So then you have your senators and congressmen. Now, anybody that's been in more than a term, pretty much two terms or more, bought and sold, or they have dirt on them, or they have contrived dirt on them, okay, which is dirt they made. Either way, they're going to do the bidding of the party. They're never, ever going to step out of that and usually not be the lone person standing up for much. This is why you don't see any bills like saying, hey, we can't have the big omnibus bills anymore, or you can't lump everything together with pork and everything else and try to pass it off as one bill. If we really did have an ethical Congress and an ethical Senate, you would see a lot of bills that were restoring liberty and curtailing all of the bad deeds that they've been doing for decades. But you haven't seen that. And if you look at the last 120 years, you're going to see 8 years after 8 years after 8 years or 4 years of it never really changing much. Just a lot of the cultural stuff changes, but there's not a lot of huge changes in getting any liberty back in the restoral. Okay. And I remember doing a study on this, and it said that basically, I think 3 or 4 items were basically overturned. That's about it in the last 100 years. Pretty sad, isn't it? So we have this situation where you have senators and congressmen. And if you're saying, but what about, yeah, him too. And what about, no, him too. They all are. They're all going to do the bidding, regardless of what they tell you. They can complain, but they can't do anything about it. So you might hear some people in Congress or in the Senate actually complain about things and talk the tough talk, you know, like Trey Gowdy, talk the tough talk, but they won't actually do anything about it. You're going to notice that. Just like the fact that we thought, you know, we'd get arrests, but they didn't actually happen on people that we know have committed and perpetrated crime. Okay, same kind of thing. And so there's a couple of things like this that are just true. And you just have to kind of realize this, that both sides of the aisle are pretty screwed up. And they really do like to keep us divided and fighting. Because if they can keep us fighting and keep our eye on the federal election every 4 years, then they're hoping you won't notice the governor election, the city council election. Oh, those are small elections. You don't need to worry about those. Only focus on the presidential election. That's the only thing that's important. Actually, has less to do with your own personal life and the things that are actually going to hurt you, as we saw in COVID, is your state government and your local government curtailing your freedom way more so than the federal election. And it's Congress and Senate that didn't do all of those things. They didn't stop the NSA spying or the Patriot Act. They didn't stop they're the ones that actually put a stop to the wall. They're the ones that kept Obamacare in and gave you 100 excuses. Because when you have the majority, remember when we had the majority, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, which is like the trifecta of here we go, what happened? Not one thing. Not one thing happened. And you know why? Oh, there was some superfluous crap that happened. Oh, yes, this little thing and that little thing. Nothing major happened to help us with liberty. And they had it all. They had the whole banana. They had all three houses. This was 2016 and 2017. They did nothing. And this should tell you and clue you in on exactly just how ineffective they all are. It's like they're place fillers, political place fillers. They're not even an elected person. They're just a place filler because they're just a yes man vote to whatever the party says. And the parties are directed by the deep state. And so here's the other truth that we have to get to, and that is fair elections. Do we actually have a fair election? How did they give it to Trump? Well, they gave it to Trump because they can only slide 30 to 40% of the election. They can only fudge that much of the election because they have to have our belief in the election. It's very important to them that we believe that we have a fair and, what do they always call it? Democratic process. Heads up, we're actually in a republic. But anyway, democratic process, they keep saying to us, right? They want us to believe in the election, okay? And I'm not telling you not to vote. I want you to vote. There's a personal responsibility to voting, and it's very, very important because you have to do what you can do. You're responsible. I think you're responsible to God for that. They'll be on the hook for what they do with the votes, but you have to show up. But our voting machines have been rigged for a very, very long time, and also the process by which we'll be doing mail-in voting, of course, coming up is going to be very rigged. And so what happens in the election? Well, they can only fudge so much because in 2016, everybody was showing up for Trump, right? Tens of thousands of people, stadiums filled, the whole nine yards. But for Hillary, it was green screening people in because she was so repellent. She was terrible. Yuck. And nobody wanted to see her. Nobody cared what she had to say. She had a few fans, but I mean, it wasn't like Trump. And they knew they could not pull the wool over the American people's eyes like that, or they'd have a huge problem. And herein lies the biggest problem of all. And it's not a problem for us. It's a problem for them. We are a 90% armed nation. There's only so much you can force. There's only so much you can force. So when I say that, they can only do so much to persuade us. It's like with COVID, to persuade us or the vaccine, to get us to do their bidding, right, without actually forcing us. And heaven willing, we will not ever be unarmed nation. And I hope that we can reserve our Second Amendment, our God-given right to bear arms, because that's the only hope we have in maintaining some of this control over our own lives. But that really is the one obstacle in their way. Otherwise, they can force a lot of things. And so when I'm talking about forcing an election, because they keep saying civil war and all these things, they're trying to implant all these ideas to see what people are going to gravitate to, what's going to trigger them, and what's going to get them upset. And they really do want to be able to go in and take a president out. That's what they want to do. Are they going to be able to do it? Because right now we're not seeing, we don't have any debates. We're not having a whole lot of town halls. There's not a lot of action and people showing up. So there's not a physical representation of people actually going to anything. So they can sit there and spin it all they want that Biden's in the lead every day. It's a joke. Everyone knows it's a joke. And 70% of our country knows it's a joke. And people are being very quiet, even in the polls, very, very quiet about this election. They want us to think that the elections are not rigged. And so they keep up this ruse, and they usually about every 8 years, they call it kind of like Team A, Team B. They put in Team A, and then they put in Team B. And this is to kind of, you know, pacify the people so we don't get too crazed over too much at one time, too much communism rolling in. Because the communists have already occupied the Democratic Party. With the Republican Party, yes, some of them have been. Hi, Romney. Yes, some of them have been co-opted by communism. But for the most part, it's kind of like the whole bought and sold factor. 70% of Congress is bought by pharma. This is why you don't hear anything during COVID. Same kind of thing. They're not going to say anything or do anything effective because they have dirt on them or whatever the case may be, or they're bought. So we have that distinct issue going on right now. And this is why you're not seeing a lot of change. What can we do about it? Because we've been brainwashed to think the federal election's the only important one. We're watching political theater play out. What can we do? Well, you can sue. You can sue your governor. We're doing that in our state. You can talk your county commissioners or the people that are on those county decisions like Placer, California did, and they finally said no to the COVID emergencies. We have to take off the mask. We have to get the counties to listen to us. They're closer to us and more local. And then we also have to work within the system to help fight against the governor. And really, it's just noncompliance. You just don't go along. You just take off the mask. You take off the mask first, and you start just going about your business. And the more people that do that, they can't put the entire country in jail. So there are some answers like this and things that we can do. But I think first and foremost, we have to recognize what our brainwashing, like Schoolhouse Rock, did to us from a young age, and to recognize the fact that they have controlled this for a very, very long time, and that we have two parties that fight in front of us, but behind the scenes, they're not two parties. They're more like one party, with maybe some different ideologies thrown in or some different viewpoints on things. But other than that, you've got one party hell-bent on communism and one party not really stopping it. Well, then both parties are playing together, aren't they? And as far as what team Trump works for or he doesn't, I've studied this until I'm blue in the face. And you know what? I don't know his motivations. And I always have gotten the feeling that there was a love for this country there. Somewhere in there, there's a definite love for this country. So I don't actually believe that he's giving them everything they want. I think that he actually, just like with the vaccine thing, people were noticing that he was saying, you know, get the vaccine. It's ready. It's going to be ready. I don't think that's actually he's talking about the vaccine. I think he was checkmating. I think he was sending out a checkmate because they wanted to control the election with mail-in ballot. And the only way they could do that is under the COVID ruse. And so it was kind of like, okay, you wanted vaccine. We just gave you vaccine. There's no more ability now to lock people down or make it so they can't go out and vote, because he wanted the more authentic vote, at least a better chance of that over the mail-in one. Because once we instigate that, I don't think we're ever going back to in-person voting. And I think it will be mail-in voting for forever. And also, I think he wanted more visual representation to show up so that they couldn't just take him out of the White House. But he will do some of their bidding, and people have to recognize that. You don't go into the presidency without it being owned and controlled. It just doesn't happen in this century or the century before. It just won't happen. So all the things I've learned, the fight between the parties, and the fact that our intelligence agencies work together. You know, it's no secret that Israel has been hijacked, their government. And of course, our government's been hijacked with the deep state. And of course, you have the crown and China all working together. They're all working together. And so if we don't start recognizing that, they can play the anti-Semitism card. You know, don't ever talk about Israel. I'm not talking about the people of Israel. I'm talking about the government of Israel. I'm talking our government doesn't represent us. It's hijacked in our name, doing things we would never consent to. Well, that's going on in every country. How can any country at this point bypass that? They can't. All the governments have this hijacking going on right now. So, of course, the intelligence agencies work together in lawlessness to do things, to create more instances where we are propelled into a new world order where the United Nations reigns. That's basically where they're going with this. We better wake up, smell the coffee, whatever the case may be, wake up to what our heinous situation is right now so that we can start really fighting in this game instead of just head in the sand, pretending that we live in a different America than we do. We've got to fight for this Constitution. It's hanging by a thread. Today is Constitution Day. I'm so grateful for that Constitution because it's still in play. We don't need another bloody revolution. We just need to use what we have in a very smart manner to be able to restore that. And we can do it if enough people wake up. Go to katedalyradio.com. Put your comments below and email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. I would love to hear from you. And I do read every message. So I would actually like to hear your comments on this. Thanks, you guys.